time we shall read our text, which says, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Since a person cannot enter the kingdom of God without the new birth or without being born again, it is most important for us to know what it means to be born again, or as our text says, what it means to be born of water and of the Spirit. First, I would like to point out that there are three or more different views taken of this scripture. Some churches seem to think when an infant child is sprinkled with water at the baptism of font, he is born again. People believe this because their church gives that interpretation of the text. Others believe the words, except a man be born again, refer to people old enough to believe or old enough to act on their own. Some say when they are baptized or immersed in water, with the word spoken over them, I baptize you for the remission of sins, that gives them the new birth. No doubt what we have been taught naturally leads most of us to believe as we do. If we have been taught that a baptized infant is saved when it is sprinkled, we believe it, because our church says so. Others have been taught if we are baptized by immersion, our sins are washed away because Acts 2:38 says, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. Also this text, which says we're born of water and of the Spirit. Still others believe, as does your speaker today, this text does not refer to baptism by or in water at all. It does not read born of baptism in the Spirit, but it says born of water and the Spirit. In John 4, Christ told the woman of the well, The water that I shall give you shall be in you, a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. It is water received within, not water put on outside a person or a person put into the water. Ephesians 5 and 26 speaks of the washing of water by the Word. The big question in our text then is being born of water in the Spirit baptism in water, or is it something produced in us when we believe the water of the Word of God? Turning to our Bibles on this subject, I would like to point out first that the words born again are only mentioned twice. Other passages speak of the same thing in different words. But Peter says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter 1:23. James uses the word begat instead of the words born again, and he says in chapter 1:18, Of his own will begat he us by the word of truth. Both of these writers speak of the Word of God as the agent of the new birth, and both leave water baptism out. This, I believe, is the meaning of John 3:5, born of water and the Spirit, which means born of the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. The Word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and He uses the Word to convict of sin and also in bringing about conversion. Paul taught the same thing when he said, Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When Peter preached to the first Gentile Cornelius in his house, they heard the Word and received the Holy Spirit. I would like to read Acts 10:44 and 5. It says, While Peter spake these words, The Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Now notice, they were all old enough to hear God's word. In verse 47, he said, Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, who have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Nothing could be plainer. They heard the word, received the Holy Spirit, and then were baptized. They were born again through believing God's word, and the Holy Spirit was given to them before they were baptized in water. From this scripture we learn that only born-again persons should be baptized. A sinner's works cannot save him. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I have always been taught, if we want to find the exact meaning of any verse, we must first of all note to whom the verse was spoken, and then study the context. Now let us study the context or the verses surrounding John 3 and 5, which is our text. First, I want you to see the illustration Christ gave to Nicodemus from the Old Testament, which explains the new birth, and then the words of explanation given to him by the Lord Jesus. The illustration of the new birth is found in John 3, 14 and 15, which reads, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The story of the serpent is found in Numbers 21. There the people murmured, and God sent fiery serpents among them, which bit the people, and many died because of the serpent bites. They asked God to take away the serpents, but instead he provided a remedy or a cure. We have a similar situation today. Sin is here in this world, and God has not seen fit to take it out of the world, but he has made a provision for our salvation in Christ. So he told Moses to make a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. Then he sent a message to the people telling them that everyone who has been bitten, when he looks to the serpent on the pole, would be healed. So it came to pass that all of those bitten were healed when they believed the message and looked to the serpent of brass on the pole. Here it was life in a look. The moment they looked, they lived. Today we are to preach that Christ was lifted up on the cross and died for our sins. And God will save all who look to him. Did you ever hear people being saved through a look? Well, I was saved that way. I found out I was a lost sinner who could not save himself or could not even help save himself. Then I learned that Jesus was lifted up on the cross 1,900 years ago for my sin. I saw that he died for my sins and rose again. I read in the Bible, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The moment I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I received his life, which is eternal life, and I was born of God. Now that's the illustration God gave to Nicodemus regarding the new birth in John 3. God's salvation is simple, clear, and plain in the Bible. A child should be able to read that and understand it. Listen to Christ's word, "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 1 John 5 and 20 tells us Jesus Christ is the true God and eternal life. Those who have Christ have this life. Now let us examine further the words of Christ which he told Nicodemus in John 3, 16 and 17. First, we have that best-known gospel text, so seldom quoted by those who believe one must be baptized in order to be saved. Christ never mentioned baptism to Nicodemus, but he did say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This verse is Christ's explanation of the serpent lifted up, and how we are born again. And I quote, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." In other words, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to be lifted up upon the cross and to die for our sins, in order that those who believe on him should never perish and should have everlasting life. How many people are there today who can say, "I shall never perish, for I have everlasting life"? It seems the majority kick against such preaching. John 3:17 says, "God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Paul preached the gospel as good news, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was buried and rose again the third day. He preached in Acts 13 and 38 and 9 these words, "To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins." He told the jailer when he asked, "What must I do to be saved?" "To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Some may object to that, but their objections do not change the Word of God. In the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, the Word is the good seed, and the good seed produced the children of the kingdom. The Word sown in good ground brought forth fruit. And Matthew 13:23 says, "He that receiveth seed on good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit." May God help us to believe His word, to understand it, not to change it by misquoting even John 3:5 and making it read what it does not say, namely, born of baptism and the Spirit. The water is the word that must be believed in faith. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are born of water and of the Spirit. Anyone who believes and has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will know that he is saved, because God says, "Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee above all for the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and was buried and rose again. We bless thee for the clearness of thy word, which says, "Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Help someone to believe on him today, we pray, in his worthy name. Amen. Thank you, friends, for listening, and God bless you.